Hello and welcome to Reflections. I'm your girl Nadine Edwards. Thank you for joining. I hope as you listen today, you'll be uplifted, inspired, motivated in your continued pursuit of becoming a better version of yourself. In today's episode, I will be talking a little about oil and how important it is to our everyday survival. Oil in its raw state is referred to as crude oil, and it's a mixture of hydrocarbons that exists in a liquid in underground geologic formations and remains a liquid when brought to the surface. It is a raw natural resource that is extracted from the earth and refined into products. Oil, also commonly referred to as petroleum, is one of the top money-making commodities in the world today. It is one of the most fundamental and vital resources in the modern world. The production of oil is a process that only stops if there's no more oil to extract. Roughly half of the world's countries produce oil in some capacity. Oil production is measured in barrels per day, or BPD. Most oil-producing countries produce thousands, even millions of barrels per day, with their total output often limited by market forces rather than by production capability. For instance, gas prices rose sharply in response to the 2022 Russian invasion of Ukraine, but oil companies in the US chose to take the increased per gallon profits rather than increase production, which would increase supply and lower gallon prices. The top five producing countries in the world are the USA, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Canada, and Iraq. The US is a top oil producing country in the world and the country that consumes more oil than any other country in the world. So even though the US is a top producer in oil, Saudi Arabia is the world's largest exporter in oil. Its oil and gas industry makes up to 50% of its GDP, which is gross domestic product, and 70% of its export earnings. In 2022, the US produced 11.56 billion barrels of oil per day, Russia 10.503 billion, Saudi Arabia 10.225 billion, Canada 4.656 billion, and Iraq 4.260 billion. Of course, we know that oil is very crucial in the generation of fuel. Fuel is a well-known use of petroleum because it is easily recognizable. Many countries depend on gasoline-powered vehicles such as cars, buses, trains, farming equipment and vehicles, airplanes to get from point A to point B. Oil is not only needed to fuel transportation, but is also needed for heating and electricity. Many homes and businesses use oil-powered furnaces or use different technologies to convert oil into electricity to power lights and appliances. The use of plastic is owed to crude oil. It is a defining feature of modern life, and it is used in electronics, furniture, dishes, food packaging, cars, building materials, and sports equipment, along with virtually every aspect of daily life. Plus, plastic plays an important role in physical health, as it is a very key component in dental and medical supplies like dentures and hearing aids. Without oil, we wouldn't have all these plastic products we use on a daily basis. Talk about clothing. Beyond all plastic we use, oil provides even more of our clothing options. Many fibers are petroleum-based and give us materials like spandex, polyester, nylon, and even vegan leather. The petrochemicals used in these materials are what let our clothing and accessories be lightweight and water-resistant. The petrochemicals used in the materials also contribute to the durability of our clothes, and for that fact that synthetic clothing doesn't wrinkle or stain as much as cotton clothing. Oil also finds its way into beauty products and toiletries in the form of ingredients like propylene, glycol, and acrylates. You find that soap, lotion, toothpaste, shaving cream, shampoo, deodorant are all petroleum-based products. Those of us who love to smell sweet, even perfumes and colognes rely on petroleum for long-lasting scents. We ladies who love to pretty up, cosmetics such as foundation, eyeshadow, and mascara also make the list of oil products. And of course, a famous petroleum product, petroleum jelly, the Vaseline. Paraffin wax is derived from petroleum, and guess what it is used for? Lipstick and candle. In the health sector, it is using coatings for pills, binding agent for creams, disposable syringes. In the homes, contact lenses, laundry detergents, dry cleaning fluid. When you go shopping, shopping bags, credit cards, egg cartons, plastic milk bottles. In construction, oil is used in roofing tiles, insulating material, paint. In school, it is used in crayons, rulers, ink cartridges, glue, coverings on books and binders. In the office, oil is needed for computer hardware, phones and faxes, desks, chairs, printing ink, pens. In the garden, we need oil for fertilizers, pesticides, and garden furniture. And the list goes on and on. You see how fundamental oil is to our daily lives? Just imagine life without crude oil. By the way, it is said that crude oil is a non-renewable resource, which means that it can't be replaced naturally at the rate we consume it, and is therefore a limited resource. But there's another type of oil that I want to talk about that, unlike the crude oil, comes in unlimited supply. In scripture, you find references of oil, which is symbolic to me, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus said would come to be with us when he goes back to the Father after his resurrection. Let me just quickly share with you a few Bible references that allude to oil as the Holy Spirit. Anointing with oil was used in the act of consecrating men as priests in the Old Testament. Anointing usually occurred to set 1, a person or thing apart as holy and dedicated to the Lord, or 2, to confer authority on a person. So 1 Samuel 16:13, we are told that the Holy Spirit came upon King David. That is, anointing implied the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the king. So in 1 Samuel 10 verses 1, 6 and 9, we discover that King Saul was anointed and the Holy Spirit was actively present in his life and changed his heart. So now I will get into the 10 roles of the Holy Spirit. So number 1, the Holy Spirit is a helper who teaches and reminds. In John 14 verse 26, Jesus told his disciples, "The Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." The second role of the Holy Spirit is that he convicts the world of sin. In addition to providing wise counsel, attorneys also provide evidence used to convict criminals. In a similar fashion, the Holy Spirit will prove the sin, righteousness, and judgment of the world. Here's what Jesus said before he left earth. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." That's John 16 verses 7 and 8. The Holy Spirit dwells in believers and fills them. That's number 3. He is God's presence in the lives of believers. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" That's a question coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Number 4, the Holy Spirit is a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit teaches all things. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except for their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 10 and 11. God gives his followers the Holy Spirit so that we may know him better. Since the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, it knows the thoughts of God and reveals those thoughts to believers. Jesus knew that his disciples would need the power to carry out their mission to be witnesses to the entire world. Jesus told his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's in Acts 1, verse 8. Christians have access to power, revelation, and wisdom from the Holy Spirit, just as the Apostle Paul wrote to believers in Ephesus. He said, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better.
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 1 verses 17 to 20. Number 5. The Holy Spirit guides to all truth, including knowledge of what is to come. He is called the Spirit of Truth in John 16 verse 13 because he guides believers into all truth. Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit will make known what he hears and will only speak what the Father speaks. So when you're a child of God, you're not left in the dark. God will reveal things to you. He will show you what is to come. All the deception that is happening in the world, if you allow the Holy Spirit to abide in you and guide you and teach you, he will guide you on all the lies. He will sift through the lies and tell you what is truth. You will know what to embrace and what to reject when you allow the Spirit of God to abide in you and guide you. Because the world is filled with deception, my friend. The Spirit of God is like light. Just imagine you walking into a room with absolutely no light, and there are a lot of objects in that room, whether it be furniture or things in the way, and you have to make your way in that darkness and you can't see. Perhaps there's mess in the way. Some animal was in the room and the animal pooped, for argument's sake, and you have to step into that poop and your bucket toe. And when you go through life without light, without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you do not know upon which you stumble. You don't know what is true from what is not. You believe government, you believe ministers, you believe politicians. You believe the information that comes through mainstream media. Because and as much as some of the information is not true, you don't know how to sift. And then this is how anxiety is heightened. Because so much information is coming at us. And the brain is trying to process so much, and we don't even know what makes sense and what's not making sense. And some information just don't make sense. A lot of confusion is out there today. And I tell you this, we all need the Spirit of God to sift through, to settle our hearts, to guide us, to teach us, and to let us know beforehand or ahead of time what is to come. Number 6 is that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to believers. You may not recognize your gift right now, but as you become a believer, and if you're just new to the faith, as you go by and as you pray and as you spend time with God, he will reveal to you your gift. If you want to know more about gifts, you can read that in 1 Corinthians 12 verses 7 through to 11. And then number 7, the Holy Spirit is a seal in the life of believers. In the ancient world, a seal was a legal signature, attesting ownership and validating what was sealed. The Holy Spirit is our mark of adoption as God's children. Jesus sent him to his followers so that they could be confident in their salvation. Just as you might make a deposit or a down payment on a new car to make sure the salesperson doesn't sell it to anyone else, the Holy Spirit is a deposit in our life, confirming the validity of Christ's message and that we belong to Christ. And Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So when you become a child of God, God places mark upon you. You're guaranteed his, which means your place is secured in his kingdom. The Holy Spirit helps in a Christian's weakness and intercedes for them. We all have times we feel weak and don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit helps us line up with God's will during those times by interceding for us. Romans 8 verses 26 to 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Number 9, the Holy Spirit makes believers new and gives them eternal life. He works in the lives of believers to renew, sanctify, and makes us holy. Just as the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, this same Holy Spirit will give eternal life to believers in Christ. Here's what Romans 8, verses 10 and 11 say. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Wow, that's powerful. We just celebrated Easter, right? Let me read that again so it can sink in. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. That's amazing. I'm owning on that one. And then 10 and last, the Holy Spirit sanctifies and enables believers to bear good fruit in their lives. The work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life is an ongoing process of becoming holy through sanctification. Through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, believers will not indulge in sinful acts of the flesh. And we find the sinful acts in Galatians 5 verses 16 to 21, which says the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like these will not inherit the kingdom of God. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the good fruit that we need to bear as Christians, is also found in Galatians 5, verses 22 through to 25. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Whether you're a Christian or not, the Holy Spirit is always trying to reach you. The Holy Spirit is always trying to connect with you, to lead you in a particular direction. Some of you are already Christians. You've been struggling. The Holy Spirit is there to help you to get up, to be stronger, to do the right thing. If you're not yet a Christian and you're struggling with decisions in your life, the Holy Spirit is working through your gut or your conscience. Because the gut and the conscience are built-in connectors to help guide us towards right doing and right actions. So if you're contemplating making a decision and your gut is telling you to do something, follow your gut. And if you have done something and your conscience is bothering you, it means therefore that you probably did something wrong and you need to repent or ask God's forgiveness on that thing. Because that is how the Holy Spirit works to get us moving in the right direction. So I encourage you today, listen to that still small voice. Pause and incline to what God is trying to tell you or lead you to do. And at the end of the day, you will be safe. You will be happy you did not make that particular decision. Or you will be happy you repented of that wrong that you did. Don't ever think or feel that you are beyond God's help or you're beyond redemption or salvation, because God's word says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And there's another scripture that says, he that call upon the Lord will be saved. You're not at a point that you're unredeemable, because God sees everything about you. He knows everything about you. He knows what you have done, what you're going to do, what you're doing right now. And he still loves you. His Holy Spirit is working on your heart to make the right decision. That's all He wants you to do. Move away from the sin. He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. And when He comes back, He's not coming back to destroy sinners. He's coming back to destroy sin. So those who harbor sin in their hearts and embrace it and refuse to let it go, then the holy presence of God, which is a consuming fire, will consume. the sinner with the sin. Again, if you can move away from the sin with God's help, because the help is available to you, you have to ask for it. Receive it. Receive that power today. Receive that strength to overcome the things that you struggle with, because God is ready to help you. You not knowing how is not your business. It's just to express the willingness to want to change, to want to make that U-turn. And then God will do the rest. He will open up ways of escape for you and see you through. So to recap, the Holy Spirit is a helper who teaches and reminds us when we forget. 2, He convicts the world of sin. 3, He dwells or lives in believers and fills them. 4, He's a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. 5, He guides into all truth, including knowledge of what is to come. 6, He gives spiritual gifts to believers. 7, He is a seal in the lives of believers. 8, He helps Christians who are weak and advocates for them. 9, He makes believers new and gives them eternal life. And 10, He sanctifies believers and enables them to bear good fruit in their lives. Can you really live without the Holy Spirit? Pause. Think about it. To take us out today, I leave with you Romans 8 verses 14 to 16, which says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father." Thank you for listening to today's reflection. Join me again next week for another episode. Until then, stay blessed.